We thank you, Lord, that we get to come back to your house again this week, and we're so grateful that you know our hearts and you love us anyway. Help us to reciprocate and love you back with more fullness and deeper and greater joy. We thank you, Jesus, that you are all in all, that we can trust you in all things, and thank you that we can come to you whether our hearts are full and excited or heavy and depressed, and we can take all of our issues and concerns to you, Jesus. We are so grateful that you're there and that you care. Amen. We are almost out of the armor of God. I think some people looking and they were thinking, okay, well, we got past all of the pieces, so we should be done with the armor of God. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. And so as I do the review for armor of God, think about how prayer fits in with all these. Prayer doesn't have a piece of armor attached to it. It doesn't say put on the glasses of prayer or the, I don't know, shorts or whatever they were going to come up with. But prayer is kind of important, and yet without all of this armor, the prayer doesn't make as much sense. And so when we get to this verse that talks about prayer, we realize that we're going to have truth that's girding all of that. You're going to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. When we go to God in prayer, truth is kind of important. Whether we think so or not, He knows the truth. He is the truth. And so we go to God in prayer. If you try to pray like a hypocrite and you come up with stuff that you think you can hide from God, give that idea up, okay? When we talk to God, He knows our hearts, He knows our thoughts, He knows our intentions, He knows our motivation, He knows everything about what we're trying to bring to Him. So we can't pull one over on Him. I can go to Kathy sometimes and convince her that I love her without fully feeling it, maybe. And because she wants to believe that, she might believe it. God's not that gullible. I do love you, Kathy. It really is. Ask God. He'll let you know. Anyway, God is not so gullible that we can go to Him and try to butter Him up. Like, you know, a lawyer gets into court and tries to say all kinds of wonderful things about the judge or the jury, if there's a jury there, and tries to get them on their side. You know what? God's already on our side. And He knows everything about us and loves us anyway. He's not going to remove us from Him. He promises that we're in. We get to be held with Him forever and ever. But He also kind of likes truth. And so if we're going to approach God in prayer, having this belt of truth buckled around our waist is relatively important. Because whether we know it or not, He knows the truth. We can't pull one over His eyes. And so truth is foundational. And then standing firm then with the breastplate of righteousness. Again, He's the righteous one. We can go to God and say, I want to stay and, you know, continue in my sin. I want to be steeped in sin, but I'd expect you to come and bless me and do what I do. He's not a genie that you can just rub the lamp and He comes out and gives you your wishes. He's not a piñata where we can beat Him with the stick and all of the blessings come flying out. He's going to look at us and say, my goal for you is that you can be righteous. Okay? So when you come to me in prayer, come in righteousness. If your righteousness isn't there yet, put on the righteousness of Jesus. That's where we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on Jesus' righteousness so we can approach God. You know, we have no right to pray or approach God and ask Him for anything or converse with Him for any reason without Jesus Christ. And so this concept of righteousness, we need righteousness to approach God. And I don't have righteousness in my own strength. And so I approach God with the righteousness of Jesus. That's where I put on that breastplate. Standing firm then, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You're standing firm with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, when I approach God, I don't need to be worried or concerned. I can approach Him confidently, Scripture says, because that gospel of peace gives me the readiness to say, yeah, I can have peace with the creator of the universe, the judge that's ultimately going to judge all people and all things. I can have confidence to approach him in prayer because of the gospel, because of the opportunity of the good news of Jesus Christ. I can approach him. And so I'm ready to be with Jesus. And so part of being prepared for battle, it is, you know, don't go into it on your own. Go into it with prayer. The shield of faith. Again, faith is going to be something that's necessary to approach God. Hebrews says without faith it's impossible to please God. But why would you even try to talk to God if you didn't believe he existed? So if we're going to have prayer, we're talking with somebody we don't get to see. All right? And you wouldn't talk to maybe some people would. They've got their imaginary friends and things. I get that. Sometimes you need something to talk to. And I know some people just cry out to the universe or some ephemeral whatever's out there. But having faith that God exists and that we can approach him and that he's going to reward those who earnestly seek him, that shield of faith is going to give us an opportunity when we approach God in prayer. We can trust and have faith that he's going to respond. And he will not do our bidding, but he'll help us become who we need to be so that we can continue serving him. The helmet of salvation. Again, without salvation, why would we be approaching God? Hopefully, if you don't have salvation, you're going to approach God. Your first question should be, how can I be saved? That question gets asked in Scripture a number of times, and what's always the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Trust, have faith. And so, with all of this armor that we put on, and we take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I knew Kathy just a little bit before we really got to know one another. But there was a night that I think she'd probably remember too, where we sat out and there was women's dorm, men's dorm, and in the middle was this meeting room thing. We were out in that meeting room for a very long time, and we didn't run out of things to talk about. And we just kept talking and kept talking. And it's like our conversation, when we go to God in prayer, he wants to talk to us too. So having the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we can have a conversation with him. When you're sharing, you get to see one of your sisters you haven't seen for a while, or you get to spend time with a friend that it's been years since you've been together. And the conversation just flows and things keep on coming up. Some of what we talk about is memories. Oh, do you remember when? And we're looking in Scripture, there's a whole lot of memories. You get into the Old Testament, and guess what? The Israelites were in captivity for 400 years, and then they got miraculously taken out in the book of Exodus, and then they were stupid and did all kinds of terrible things, and they wandered around, and kind of, you know, and then you get to Judges, and you go through these things. That's kind of our story, too, but like we're stupid with God sometimes. He wants to bless us and love us and take us to a new place, and we're stubborn and rebellious and stiff-necked and hard-hearted and all those things. That's the stories in Scripture match our stories. And so as we discuss and have conversation with Jesus, our Creator, we can keep on talking about the past, but we also want to talk about what's going to happen next. What are the future plans? How often in conversation do you want to talk about, yeah, I've got this vacation planned, or you know, I'm going to do this with my house or my yard, or I've just ordered so many plants that I don't know where I'm going to put them all. And, you know, it's like you hear these conversations that flow, and it's like because you're in relationship. And then sometimes when you're with somebody that you really love and you spend a lot of time with, there's this kind of a conversational roller coaster where everything reaches a crescendo and then it just kind of falls and then you're silent for a while. We can do that when we're in prayer and talking with God too. We can get to that point where, you know, Jesus, I don't have anything else I want to say to you, but I don't want to leave yet. I don't want the conversation to be over. Can we just hang out? Can we just be with each other? And so you kind of see how all of the armor of God circles around this concept of prayer, or prayer circles around the armor of God. Again, Jesus is the armor. We went through this. He is the truth. He is our righteousness. He does give us readiness for the gospel of peace. He is really the gospel himself. He provides for us faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, his faithfulness makes my faith possible. The helmet of salvation, he's our salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then John 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word. So, again, we're looking at, we need Jesus. And here's the theme for today. Pray prayers. It's pretty simple. Pray prayers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, just the first part. We'll get to the second part next week. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's pretty big. You're going to pray in the Spirit. You know, it's His Spirit and our Spirit are touching one another. And we're communicating. On all occasions. Can you think of a time where you shouldn't be in prayer? You fall down and you hurt yourself. Lord help. You score a goal when you're playing soccer and your team wins the game. Lord, thank you. Everything should be conversation with God. He's with us at all times and we're constantly with Him. So on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. There's nothing too little to ask God about. If your hangnail is really hurting you, talk to God. He cares about that. When you're trying to determine with friends and family, what's the next step? We're all getting old and we're not sure how we're going to be able to get through our next phase in life. What do we do with that? Talk to God. He supplies needs. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." This is throughout all the scripture. It keeps on saying, just talk to God. Pray prayers. Every situation, all occasions. Every kind of prayer, all prayers. Every situation, prayer, petition. It's okay to petition God. Some people think that we're wasting God's time when we start asking Him for stuff. It's like, He doesn't mind. And if it's stuff you don't need, guess what He's going to tell you? No. But Dad, I'm 6 already. I should be able to get a chainsaw. No. You know, God's going to want us to prepare ourselves as He's preparing us too. And we work in lockstep with Him so that we can, you know, we're presenting our request to God. When you present a request, you got to realize it's not always going to be yes. If you're totally spoiled and everything you've ever asked for was always yes, I'm sorry. That doesn't make you a good person. It oftentimes will create a monster. And then with thanksgiving, how often do we approach God? We haven't even thanked Him for all the blessings He's given us already. And we're on to the next one. You know, when you go to your parents and they feel like they're, you know, piggy bank for you, and they're constantly giving and giving and giving, and you come back and you keep asking and asking, but there's never an attitude of gratitude or any kind of thanksgiving, or it's like, I think the piggy bank strings are going to kind of get tightened a little bit. You know, God's not that much different. He's our Father. And so when we go to the Father in prayer, we've got to be thankful. You know what? All of us here in this building have lived a blessed life. The fact that we are where we are and able to walk and breathe and do the things we do, not just physically blessed, but we're mentally, emotionally, spiritually blessed. God's with us every step of the way. He cares for us. You can guarantee when you're having trouble in your life, He's still there. In fact, he promises you, in this world, you will have trouble. Thank you, God, I'm having trouble. I know you're still there. You knew this was coming. You're not surprised by this. How are we going to get through this trouble? Well, Scripture says when you walk through the water, you won't drown. When you go through the fire, you won't be burned. Because God is with you. And so, we're just thankful that how many of us have been through things that we thought we'd never get through? Cancer. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter what the doctor proclaims. Sometimes doctors are given a death sentence to somebody. And then you find out 20 years later, you know, they were given 6 months to live 20 years ago. And they're still here, and they're still living and vibrant. Now, sometimes people do die. But God is still there. He's with us. And I can't, you know, if God chooses to take me, I'm okay with that. Because he's preparing a room for me, and that means my room's ready. So I get to go and hang out with him and be with him. But just thanksgiving for everything. We present our request to God, knowing that he can say yes or no, or maybe, or later, or that's probably not a good idea. You might want to rethink that. You know, you have that conversation with God. That's continually praying with him. In Romans 8, few verses here. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. You ever been there? It's like, I know I need something. I just don't know how to ask or what to ask. And we don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. It's like, okay. So if we're at a loss, it's like, I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, could you take my misunderstanding, my confusion, my cloudiness of mind and spirit and groan for me so that we can get back to where things are according to the will of God? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Sometimes things don't happen the way we'd like them to. And God turns it and he makes it even better. According to his purpose. According to his will. In Matthew chapter 6, you know, Jesus is doing what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is a small piece of that sermon. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. So it's like, okay, wait. We're supposed to pray all the time, so these hypocrites, it sounds like they're at least praying, right? They're following that command. They're following that order. When we pray, though, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. So what's your motivation? Again, when we approach God, if we've got the armor of God on, we're not going to be approaching him so we can be seen by others. That's not the purpose of prayer. It's not so, oh, look how holy I am. There was a guy in one of the stories in the Bible. He was thankful when he went in prayer. He was thankful that he wasn't like this guy over here, this terrible sinner. I'm so glad that I'm wonderful, not like him. That's how he approached God. And in that story, it says the other guy that came with humility was the one that God listened to. So being thankful, what's in our heart? Just, it's not just words. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, those private, quiet prayers. It's like, God, groan. But your Father, he sees your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your motivation. You're not out there trying to get other people to see how holy and wonderful and spiritual you are. You're just there to meet with the Father. He says, yeah, I'm here for you. I'm going to reward you with my presence. I'm going to reward you with peace that surpasses understanding. I'm going to reward you with things that you can't even ask or imagine. It's like, get your imagination out. Think of the best thing possible that could happen right now. I can do something even better. That's the reward from the Father. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Again, you know, we think we can beat God into submission and get Him to do what we want. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. You want to lead this one, Kathy? No? You sure? Everybody, if you'd like to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's interesting that in the prayer that, you know, the disciples are asking, how should we pray? And he says, you know, lift up praise and honor to God. Just, you know who you're praying to. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're better than we can imagine. And then that part about forgiveness, the verses continue. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, do we do that? Or do we hold a grudge? Or both? Sometimes, yeah, I can forgive them. Sometimes not so much. And where's my head? Where's my heart? No, let's put on the armor of God, okay? God's given me faith, righteousness, salvation, and truth, and all of these things that are going to keep me with Him so I can approach Him in prayer. So it's like, Father, I don't feel like forgiving this person. In fact, I'd like to see them dead. That's a good prayer. That's one of the prayers of David. He prays that, and he writes poems about it and sings. Oh, did you kill him? You know, that kind of thing. He's right up there. He wants to see their children, the orphans, and their wives, the widows. It's pretty clear what he likes. It's going to God, okay? But he's not trying to take vengeance out on his own. He's not trying to deal with it in his own strength or on his terms. But let it be in God's terms. Scripture keeps on telling us, actually, we're supposed to forgive the way we've been forgiven. Like, oh, that's right. I'm sure glad, Lord, that you don't hold my sins against me. If the Lord were to hold all of our sins against us, who could stand? And yet, when we put on the armor of God, it says we can stand. So, part of putting on the armor of God, we put on His righteousness through faith in Him. We've got the truth and salvation and feet are shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And all of these things are in place so that it's like, wow, we can forgive everybody everything, I guess. Now, of course, you can forgive somebody and still hold them accountable. Did you know that? Sometimes I think the reason people don't want to forgive is because they think that person's going to get away with whatever they did. And that's where David, when he goes to God, he says, I can't really forgive this person, but I know you know what to do. It's in your hands. Lord, you're great. When God was talking with the Israelites at one point, he said, I'm so angry with you, I don't want to go with you. I forgive you, but I don't even want to be with you. Ever been that way with somebody? Yeah, I can forgive you, but I don't want to see your face. That takes some healing. Again, it's only God that can bring that healing. And eventually, God did go with the Israelites after Moses prayed and interceded and kept on saying, well, if you're not with us, there's no sense in moving on. Why would we go anywhere without you? Okay, I guess I'll go with you. If we do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a hard piece of theology that most of us don't want to deal with. It's like, I have to be forgiving. But you know what? He gives us the peace and the strength and the ability to do that. If we've got the full armor of God on and we're praying to Him, we really trust that you know, He will take vengeance on whoever He needs to. He promises in Scripture He's going to make all things right. Okay? He's either going to change that person's heart that you're so angry with that you can't forgive. He's either going to change their heart and give them the ability to do the right thing, or He's going to judge them eternally. If they choose not to change their heart, if they choose to reject God continuously, there are consequences. And so we can keep trusting that the Father will deal with this and we don't have to. And that's where forgiveness, it's like, it's not on my shoulders anymore. In fact, more often than not, if you refuse to forgive somebody, you're probably hurting yourself more than you're hurting them. It'll eat away at you. And so forgiveness is actually a gift from God. If He teaches us to forgive like He forgave us, it's like that takes a burden off. I don't have to carry that. I'm still going to watch that person. Still don't trust them until I see behaviors change. But not my responsibility. God's going to deal with that. It'll all work. In Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Notice how many places in Scripture thankfulness keeps on coming up when we're talking about prayer. Just the fact that you get to talk to God, that's something to be thankful about. And being watchful. Paying attention. Luke 21. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is when teaching is about end times. We're going to come to the end. There's going to be a lot of that stuff. Be on the watch. Pray that you'll be able to escape the bad stuff. And that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man, before Christ, as a judge. And you stand before Him and He looks at you and says, yeah, I recognize that righteousness. That's me. Come on in. In Luke 18... Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And that parable was the parable of the persistent widow. Now, earlier I talked about you shouldn't pray like the hypocrites and you shouldn't pray like the pagans that are continually babbling and going on and thinking with their much words that they'll get what they need. And then you get this parable that says, well, be persistent in prayer. Don't give up. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? So yeah, don't stop asking. Don't stop petitioning God in prayer. But don't think that it's your many words that's going to fix it. It's His compassionate heart. 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always. That's a great command, isn't it? Pray continually. You know, if you can learn those four words, you memorize two verses of Scripture. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know the will of God? Be happy. Pray. And pray prayers. And keep praying. And while you're praying, be thankful. And you're thankful in all circumstances. You're not necessarily thankful for all circumstances, but you're thankful in all circumstances. So even when things aren't going the way you'd like them to, and then, you know, you feel like you're at your wit's end and you just can't handle whatever's coming next, just be thankful. Be thankful that whatever comes next, God's going to turn it to good, because He promises He's going to make all things work together for good. Romans 12. There I am. Keep coming back to that chapter. Again, if you haven't spent time with Romans 12, get there. Learn it. Live it. Do it. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. I love that. You know, Scripture doesn't, you know, Paul's writing to the Romans and he's not holding back. It's like, there's going to be affliction. Guess what? It's surrounded by joy and prayer. And then just be patient through that affliction, because, yeah, you're going to have sorrow for a time. But eventually it gets better and better. Perfection. Paul again writing to young Pastor Timothy. Part of the instruction he gives Timothy is, I urge then, first of all, this is like of utmost importance. This is, of all the things you're hearing from me, Timothy, this is something that you should kind of take to heart as number one importance. First of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So if you run out of things to pray about, how many people are there in the world? I don't even know. God knows that. There's a lot. Even in the United States, we're talking about hundreds of millions. And we're talking worldwide. It's like we're not the end all. There's so many people that it's like, okay, and we're supposed to do this for all people, says in Scripture. Petitions. You know that there's people hurting right now from all kinds of things? Poverty, natural disasters. There's so many different ways that people have been affected just this week. Ask God. In petitions, prayers, intercession. We intercede. It's like we go between, you know. It's like, how can I help? Sometimes intercession can be painful. You're taking on somebody else's burden in order to try to find a way. You know, Lord, what can be done here? Sometimes through intercessory prayer, God will lay on your heart something you need to do. Because if you're praying for your neighbor and you realize, actually, I could just bring them a meal or go and spend some time with them and sit with them. And, you know, part of prayer is going to change us so that we know that we can be the hands and feet of God. For all people. And I'm sure, you know, some of the people that Timothy is thinking, okay, he lived in a pretty bad place. The Roman Empire was awful. Government was terrible, all that. I'm glad that we don't have that issue. For kings and all those in authority. Yeah, for all people. Don't forget, when we say all people, it's not just the poor and the oppressed. It's also the wealthy and the kings. I think it was somebody as important as Jim Carrey that said something to the effect of, I would really like everybody to have all of their dreams fulfilled and all of the wealth that they desire, so that they can find out that isn't enough. I probably didn't get the quote exactly right, but the general feeling is, it's like, yeah, wouldn't it be great if you had fame and fortune? And then you get fame and fortune, and it's like, yeah, this isn't very fulfilling. Now what? How many famous people do we know that have ended their own lives? Pray for kings. Pray for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You know, going against the government is not going to get us anything. We need to pray for our governing authorities to do the right thing and to change and to grow. If it doesn't break your heart, you're not having the heart of God when you watch what's going on, whether it's Parliament and you know, all of the crazy fights that go on there, or our own legislature, or homeowners association board meetings, or, you know, I mean, you can find any level of governing authority and you're going to find turmoil and trouble in somebody that feels like the other people aren't doing it right. And oftentimes, the people that you know, run for these offices and get into these positions of authority, initially anyway, whether they continue to feel that way or not, initially they're actually thinking, we can probably help some people. We've got some good ideas that maybe if we were in a position like that, we'd be able to help. And they get there and they find out that everybody's shooting arrows at them and trying to bring them down. Have you watched the media where they try to lift somebody up for a while, and then after that person gets in the position, then they're bored and they don't know what to do, so they try to tear the person down? Then they'll try to lift the next one up, and they'll tear that one down. that's the way of the world. But the way of Jesus is when we're going in prayer, it's like we want those in authority over us to do well. We'd like them to make wise choices. And if we fight with them, that doesn't help us and it doesn't help them. Because it'd really be nice if they just would leave us alone so we could lead a quiet life, mind our own business, work with our hands. Yeah. Godliness and holiness is something that we can live out easier if we're not being harassed and constantly in turmoil and fighting others. So, prayer. Today's text, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's something that I think, to me, it's a little bit convicting because it's so easy to forget that when we're having problems, I can't fix it. People will call me sometimes and say, hey, Pastor, you need to go and talk to so-and-so, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. It's like, yeah, I probably should, but if I haven't prayed, that's my first line of defense. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to go and help somebody. Let me truly be helpful and not harmful in any way. And then as we move forward, we're going to know better, you know, listening to the Spirit. You know, what do we do? What don't we do? Sometimes Holy Spirit's going to say, no, wait. We need to know that we're with Jesus and not trying to run out ahead of him or in opposition to him. He might be trying to do something in somebody's life and we go in and try to fix it. And it's like their heart hasn't quite gotten what it needs yet. So if I go fix it in my flesh, if I go fix it in my own understanding, I could be keeping them from getting the total blessing that God's trying to give to them through his methods and his ways. So, yeah, listening to God, understanding. That's why we're praying in the Spirit. Do you know his Holy Spirit will speak to our spirit and guide us and direct us? In all occasions. All kinds of prayers and requests. So, yeah, just pray prayers. Now, I don't expect all of you to try to jump up front here and pray. Because there was that verse about, you know, praying just to show off so you can be seen. And I've been to prayer meetings during my lifetime that I think some of that's been going on. Where when you get to know the person, it's like, you're real different than when you're praying. When you're praying, it sounds like you have all these wonderful motivations and things, and then I watch your life and, you know, and so you can come alongside them. Which one of these is the real you? Because if it's the prayer guy, I want to get to know that guy more. I want to help you. If it's this other one, are you just fooling yourself? Do you think you're pulling one over on God? Don't approach his throne with this spirit of superiority and haughtiness. And we all do it. We go to God and we give him advice and we tell him what to do and how to fix things. But if we're praying in the Spirit and we've got all of the armor of God on, we're going to realize that, wait, it's his strength, it's his righteousness, it's his salvation, it's his faith, it's his readiness of the gospel of peace, it's his truth. And without him, I've got no reason to approach the throne at all. And with him, our spirits can communicate to the point that he knows who he is, I know who I am, and we can be on the same page in truth and work together. Amen.